Hi, this is Megan.
Hi, this is Holly.
And this is Yoga in the Dark, a podcast that focuses on the scientific and esoteric sides of topics such as the divine feminine, grief, energy work, meditation, and love.
So today's episode is focused on intentionally reinventing yourself. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You almost laughed.
Today, yeah.
Why are we about to laugh?
It's I get the giggles sometimes when we start recording, and I think it's like my nervous energy translating into laughter.
Yeah. I'm like excited and also very anxious.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fun cocktail of anxiety and excitement. I'm actually good today because I got to be in nature. And if you listened to our podcast where I talked about being an empath, I talked about how important it is to be in nature, and I actually got to be not in the mountains today because it's not really safe to go in the mountains, but I got to be in the foothills and amongst the trees and the dirt, and I was That's very so happy.
Yeah,
and I just want to mention real quick that we had a listener tell us that the reason why it's not safe to go to the mountains is because we can possibly infect the people in the mountains with COVID, and they don't have the proper resources to handle an outbreak of COVID-19. And so I just want to say that when I mentioned on one of our previous episodes, like, why can't we go to the mountains, that, okay, a listener put us in our place, so I appreciate that.
It's my wonderful friend.
And I'm not going to the mountains. I am going to, like, some of the legally open places that are available to be out in nature.
Practicing
right now.
That social distancing.
Yeah, it actually was. They actually had signs up saying we're open, but you do have to practice social distancing and be safe and bring hand sanitizer and all that.
So. Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. I mean, we need to get outside. You know, it's funny, the guy who came and gave me IV therapy. So I had IV therapy last week, and it was amazing.
So you're a junkie now?
Yeah, you
like,
know.
Like a vitamin C junkie or...
Yeah,
what else?
I need to get the juice. It's saline, magnesium, zinc, vitamin D. No, vitamin C. There was also an anti-inflammatory that they put in there. I should know these names because they injected me with them, but I just let. Oh, a lot of B vitamins.
Oh yeah, that's
B12.
Good.
I felt great.
Do you have track marks?
No,
I'm good.
Okay. I have good skin.
Then I trust you. Yeah. Good skin. You do have good skin.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to mention that we've gotten some great feedback from our close friends and then people who are sharing it with other people. So thank you to everybody who's supporting us and offering any feedback. We'd love to hear from you guys. We plan on doing a listeners episode here in what we're recording. What's this? Episode 6? Megan doesn't even know. She just looked at me like a deer in headlights. That's awesome.
I'm like, clearly. Do podcasts. That's all I know.
I show podcast.
Up and talk.
It's so true. I think it's episode 6 that we're recording right now. And I'm really excited because we're hoping in 2 more episodes. So for episode 8, we would love to hear from you all. We want to do a listener's Q&A, a listener's story time. Anything really, we want to be able to hear from you all, and that's an excitement for us. So please write us.
Send in your stories if you have any stories about the topics we've talked about, anything you want to share, like any information we forgot to mention that you think is important, anything that our podcast talked about that maybe helped you, or if you have any questions about things we talk about. If you have questions about things that aren't even close to what we've talked about that you think we'd like to talk about, like, really write in. Just we just want to hear from you. We just want to feel the love, so just like
we want to interact.
Also, only send us kind things if possible.
Only nice things. That's
we're
it.
We're sensitive. We're empaths.
We're empaths.
Please be gentle.
No, we would love to hear from you at yogainthedark@gmail.com, and we already mentioned it in the last episode, but we'll mention it again. Our Patreon is up and running. We have modified the tiers. We've made it really affordable. For anywhere between $3 or $5 a month, you can choose to support us and our cause so that we can do things like purchase better equipment, pay for a babysitter. I would personally really love to pay somebody to edit these mofos because I'm fucking spending like 12 hours per episode, and it's okay. I love doing it.
And we love to ramble, so I know there's a lot
there's
for you
a
to
lot.
Cut out.
You guys, here's one thing that's really cool about the Patreon. There's a lot of what we don't put in to our main episodes we put into a bloopers reel. So every time we record and then I go to edit, I pull out, there is some funny stuff just
I'm blushing just hearing you talk about it.
Okay, I keep
it. It's gonna be so embarrassing.
It's PG-13 ish. I've cleared what I need to in order to play, but Megan has every reason to be blushing right now.
That reminds me too. One of my friends the other day, he looked up our podcast and was like, why does it not say explicit content?
Oh, shit. I thought it's supposed
to. Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's supposed to. We should probably
I have an E on one of them. Oh, maybe okay, it's only on episode one.
We should probably put that on all of them before we start getting negative feedback.
Yeah, I don't want mom. Well, you know what? None of the kids are going to school, so we at least have a few months to figure this out. So don't listen to this around with your kids. Wait, hold on. Let me re-say that. Don't listen.
Stop watching our podcast around your children. Oh, by the way. What? Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't listen to this podcast with the kiddos around.
I love that.
It's a little bit of a cocktail. Timing. It's fine. It's a spritzer. There's kombucha and a little bit of red wine over ice. It's delicious.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of cool stuff on Patreon, too. Not only the bloopers, but we have some merch.
Yeah, we do. Little merch. I mean, we were going to do beanies and stuff down the line, and hopefully we can implement that
later.
Later.
Oh, I wanted to say one other thing. So it was funny. I keep trying to, keep up on the COVID humor. Okay, that sounds bad. But,
COVID humor.
But, I just, I'm trying to stay positive where I can and not discredit all the people suffering, but every time I drive over here, I pass this, gas station, a Sinclair station that has, the green dinosaur.
Yeah.
And the one by my house, the dinosaur has this giant face mask.
I think that's cute.
It's so cute.
I know.
Anyway,
it's cute.
I wanted to share that with you.
It's good for kids to see things like that. Yeah. You know, if we're going to, if we have to embrace this new norm in a way that doesn't propagandate fear, we can have a little bit of laughter. I think we've tried to make as much light and laughter as we can in this mess.
Yeah, to be if your kid's I don't want to wear a face mask, be but look, the dinosaur does it.
Sinclair is doing it. There was something else I was going to tell you. You asked me how I was, and I said I had breathing issues.
And then I interrupted you.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'll just basically say I'm okay, and I got a lot of steroids in me.
Okay.
And I don't normally enjoy using any kind of Western medicine, but I do think it has its place at times. And this is the best I've been breathing in months.
Oh, good.
I mean, if you guys don't know, I cut out about 18 million throat clears when I'm editing.
She's very phlegmy.
I really am.
That's actually her nickname.
So phlegm. It went from twig to phlegm.
Hey, phlegm.
Oh, gross. I need a new nickname. Phlegm isn't working for me.
Phlegmy is cute.
Wow. That's not cute.
What about a mix between phlegm and twig?
Flig. I'll take it.
Twem.
I kind of like that one.
Twem's cute.
Twemmy.
Yeah, it reminds me of Twyla. Did you ever watch Twyla, show Schitt's Creek?
Schitt's Creek, yeah, yes.
Twyla. I think special. It is valuable to really look at the integration between Eastern and Western medicine. Instead of the segregation, right?
Yeah. Integrate it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
We really need to take from both, I think, for preventative care.
I agree.
Western medicine does not the choice, but when you're already really deep in some shit, Western medicine is definitely helpful, obviously.
It's true. I think that all this is related to our topics today, so I'm excited to hear what you are bringing to the table. I mean, you said you got outside. What are you doing? You need light.
I need light. Let there be light.
Let's see the light.
I love these velvety headphones. It feels like two pairs of labia. The softest, velvetiest.
Some yoni on your face.
Yeah, vulva just rubbing my cheeks. It's so nice.
So Jackie threw what she thought was you and me a text message at first, but it was to a different Megan.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, something, my yoni. And I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't know that word.
You didn't know the word? What? You don't know the word yoni?
You didn't bring it to episode one, so how am I supposed to know?
Oh my gosh, that's such a,
I don't remember
that's such
the word
a,
yoni.
Yoga world,
what?
Hippie word. Have you ever heard a yoni egg?
Yeah, that thing that like you squeeze inside of you.
So yoni is just another word for vulva.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the egg goes in the yoni. And then it...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, learning new things.
I'm glad that you know that word now. I don't know why I don't use that word as much. I really like the word vulva.
I like the word vulva too.
But I used to say yoni.
Yoni to me sounds like a pet name, so I'm glad it has more roots than that. Because for me, like... all that I've learned around trauma is like, no, you need to call it what it is.
The actual,
like the terminology. Yeah, but if yoni was anatomy. Some of the, yeah, if yoni was the terminology though, then we can go with that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We're good.
Okay. Okay. So
what you talking about?
I'm gonna jump into my topic.
Please do. We're already 20 minutes in. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'll stop talking.
So I'm talking about the power of intention. I like to think of intention not only as something that we set, but it's almost something that we tap into. Like, I talk about when I'm teaching people Reiki, that Reiki is like energy that's already all around us, and you just have to tap into it and filter it. And so when we're talking about intention, like, yes, you can set intentions, so intention can be a noun, but also intention is kind of just like an energy force that can be tapped into.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that concept from Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer, he's an amazing author and speaker, and he talks about a lot of things like the power of intention, and like he has a really good book called Excuses Be Gone. And it's just helping you to like find your highest self and to recognize the divine in you. He talks about like the Tao Te Ching a lot, which is a really powerful piece of literature. But Wayne Dyer, he's like, so the book I'm talking about is called The Power of Intention, and I listen to that on audio over and over again a lot.
Right? I have it on Audible. I listened to it a few times.
And he's actually become almost like a father figure in my ears. Like, his voice has become so comforting to me. And when he passed away, I actually mourned him.
You grieved him. I did.
Aww. I cried. So I definitely recommend checking out the book, The Power of Intention. I am going to reference it a few times today. So aligning yourself to intention is becoming the thing that you want to attract. So if you want love, you have to be love. If you want people to be kind to you, you have to be kind. So people who are not connected to the power of intention often fall into the role of victim. People wonder why no one loves them, but then they lie or judge other people constantly.
Right? What a conundrum.
So what you put into the ether returns to you. In the energetic world, this behavior would be like walking into a room and slapping people and screaming at them and then expecting them to love you. Being like, why doesn't anybody love me? It's like, well, how are you showing up in the world?
Right.
Are you treating everyone you meet with love? Are you loving yourself? And if not, then the energy that you're putting out into the world is what you're going to get in return. So I want to talk a little bit about the scientific side of the power of intention too. So we have thoughts all hours of the day that we aren't aware of. Every time we consciously have a thought, like if you have a thought and you're aware that you're having a thought, it means you're having a conscious thought. We are in reality having that same thought like 70 something times a day. I can't remember the exact word. So what we think becomes reality. So if you're experiencing scarcity thinking, for example, and you're having thoughts all day like, I can't afford that, when you see something online or in a window, or a vacation someone invites you on, or I don't have enough time. These thoughts are then repeating themselves 70 times a day subconsciously, so you're thinking it without being aware of it. You can think of like every time you have a conscious thought, that thought is playing on a loop in your brain over and over again all day, kind of like different channels of the brain. Like if you were thinking of your brain as like a TV, you could change the channel and see what's on each channel. It's going to be playing the same thing all day. So if you happen to be on a loop of one of those scarcity thinking thought channels, for example, and then at that time, someone presents you an opportunity, like volunteering at an event or starting a new project, like a podcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you say, I don't have enough time or enough money, and you say no to this opportunity. Or maybe you're offered a new job opportunity, but you don't trust it because it sounds too good to be true. So if you believe that you have to work hard for money and nothing is ever free and you have to work really long hours just to make a good living, then that's the reality that you're creating. So when a good opportunity comes along and you just don't trust it, you're going to say no to it. Say it's too good to be true. You're reinforcing your reality by believing this and not ever letting a good situation manifest by believing and taking a chance. So imagine now that you are on a different thought loop. And this thought loop is, I am abundant, I am wealthy, good things happen to me, I have plenty of time. And one of these thought loops is playing subconsciously when you notice a sign hanging on a bulletin board in a coffee shop that has a job posting in your field. You apply for this job and get it. So if you're stuck in a negative thought loop, you won't see that sign. You might not even notice it. Or if you do see it, then you'll just write it off with an excuse. I don't have time. Right. I'll never get the job. Whatever, whatever. It's too good to be true.
Has it happened to you? Have you had that?
I've definitely experienced the power of intention. And I can't think of a specific example right now. But once you tune your life into this, it just happens to you so regularly that it's like it's not surprising anymore. Mm-hmm. And things like that will happen all the time. Yeah, like I'll notice a tiny sign in a window that I never would have noticed before because I set my intention to that thing that morning.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't have even seen it if I were like had my gaze down at the ground and was walking being like, oh, I just will never be able to afford it. You know, like.
Yeah.
So the power of intention in this sense is actually logical and a little bit scientific too. In esoteric terms of thinking, the universe will put into your path what you attract with positive thinking. So if you set your intention in the morning to be like, in this particular example, the scarcity thinking and abundance example, if you set your intention every morning to say that I'm abundant and I'm wealthy and good opportunities come to me, then the universe is actually going to start putting into your path things right. that coincide with this belief. And I just want to read a quick quote from Wayne Dyer from his book, The Power of Intention. Silent knowledge starts when you invite the power of intention to play an active part in your life. This is a private and very personal choice that needn't be explained or defended. When you make this inner choice, silent knowledge will gradually become a part of your normal everyday awareness. Opening to the power of intention, you begin knowing that conception, birth, and death are all natural aspects of the energy field of creation. Clinging to attempts to think or reason your way to intention is futile. By banishing doubt and trusting your intuitive feelings, you clear a space for the power of intention to flow through. This may sound like hocus pocus, but I prefer to think of it as emptying my mind and entering the heart of mystery.
Those are Wayne Dyer's words?
Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, take a moment right now.
I'm doing it.
to put yourself to trust. And he also says, take a moment right now to allow yourself to trust and gently experience an awareness of your non-physical self. First, close your eyes.
I'm closing my eyes. Wait, and, I need to shift for a second. Okay.
Close your eyes and empty your mind of rational thoughts and multitudinous.
How do you say that? What's the word? Let me see it. Multitudinal. Wait, what? Is there an end? Oh, multitudinous.
I don't know what that means.
Multitudinous. Like, multi means many. So, the multitude of things.
The multitude of.
Yeah. Okay, we're okay I'm trying okay. to close my eyes and do this.
Okay, gonna start over.
Okay. I'm here for you. I'm going to need more wine. Not for this.
She's like, just to get through your topic, I need more wine. Get the beer bong out. Fuck it. Just get the enema.
Just give me a wine enema. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Shit. Okay. Okay. You make
Are
me
you
laugh
doing
so
Lamaze?
Hard. Yes. We did it so many times in episode 4 because we were trying to calm down.
Oh, that's good.
And we go.
I love how we like record this elaborate episode and I remember nothing.
Well, you're not going to know any of it. You're going to have to go and log into our Patreon when I submit the bloopers.
I thought you were going to say you're going to have to become a member.
I almost did. And then I was like, wait, just log in. Oh my God. You're fine.
He also says.
Start over.
He continues by saying, take a moment right now and allow yourself to trust and gently experience an awareness of your non-physical self. First, close your eyes and empty your mind of rational thoughts and multitudinous never... That word's fucking me up, dude.
One more time. You said it perfect.
I know, and then I like it made me mess up the next
what
word.
What was the next word?
Ever-changing? I swear I can read. Okay, I'm gonna one more time.
Megan is literate.
I am literate. Okay.
Yes.
He goes on to say, take a moment right now and allow yourself to trust and gently experience an awareness of your non-physical self. First, close your eyes and empty your mind of rational thoughts and multitudinous, ever-changing chatter that goes on. Are you doing it, Molly? Okay, good. Next, hit the delete button every time doubt appears. Finally, open to the emptiness. Then you can begin to discover how to silently know the power of intention.
Oh my God, I love that. Can I tell you what that just made me think of? So in some of the work that I've done around just thought work, you know, there's a whole science behind it now. That episode that I mentioned, Kara Lowenthal, imposter syndrome episode, she calls what she does on her podcast thought work. And one of the things that I swear to God, this might have actually just been in the book by Elizabeth Gilbert, Eat, Pray, Love, maybe. But somewhere along the lines I've heard around this thought work where it's like, if you imagine all the thoughts coming into your mind like ships coming into the bay, if it's not a ship, or in this case a thought, that is going to manifest in a way that helps support us, makes, you know, like he said, like hit the delete button on all of the doubtful thoughts. It's the same thing with, excuse me, it's the same thing with
Megan
burping.
Oh, that was Holly. Jeez.
No. But it's the same concept where, you know, you can not let that ship dock. You can turn and say, you know, go back to the sea, like you're not going to take that in.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the point. So power of intention, it's not just about setting an intention and saying it one time. If you say, for example, like, I am healed, but then all day you talk about your injury.
Right.
So you can't say one time, my neck is healed, and then all day talk about, oh, I had this injury, this happened, and then keep saying over and over to people, like, my neck is injured, my neck is injured, my neck is injured. I caught myself actually doing that, where I kept writing in my intention journal, my neck is healed, but then I was talking all day about how I was injured. And so intention is a lot about not just like saying the words and it magically being, but it's also deleting the thoughts that go against the intention and making sure that you're correcting every time you get stuck on one of those negative thinking loops. Right. You're reprogramming that track to a different loop. So you know what that reminds me of when he talks about like emptying your head of like all the doubt, like every time a doubtful thought enters your head, you delete it, and then he says just sit with the emptiness.
Yeah, I like that
part. So a lot of times people are fearful of the emptiness, like the stillness, the silence in the head is scary to people. It's like similar to when you're having a conversation with someone and they can't have a silence, they have to keep filling it with things,
right?
And it just reminds me of that song, don't be scared of your emptiness.
Yes.
It's so much room for your happiness. So it's kind of like if you're emptying your mind of like all of this negative thinking, that you have to sit with the emptiness for a while, but then it's just more room to fill it up with the happiness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've noticed I kind of had a little mental break around my thoughts and thought work a few years ago when I took a road trip to California by myself, and I met up with I already mentioned Divine in one of the episodes because I have her old sewing machine.
Hey Divine.
And she's in El Salvador.
She's quarantining in El Salvador, Ecuador. Which sounds crazy. So we hope you're doing okay, Divine.
We hope you're doing okay. She's definitely hunkering down, I'm sure. Hopefully. Where was I going with this? Hold on, I was thinking of Divine.
You went on a road trip by yourself.
Oh, I went and I met up with Divine. And mind you, she was working the entire time because it was the Wanderlust Festival in Squaw Valley. And I went on this hike and had the most profound experience because I really started to pay attention to my mind chatter. And I realized how busy my mind was. And I realized how many negative thought streams were coming through. I mean, I've gathered there's about 70 to 130,000 thoughts that we have per day. And so many of us are really not aware of those thoughts being separate from us. Like, we get to observe those thoughts, right? And yeah. So and then when we get to start hitting delete, that was definitely what was happening to me when I went on this trip and found that my mind had a lot of chatter that was really negative and really not helpful.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Holly.
Yeah.
I think that anyone who has not had a significant experience with realizing their own mind chatter really has never experienced it. Because if you have had moments where you were able to observe the mind chatter and to realize what you're saying, I think it's almost always a profound experience.
Yeah, you feel a little crazy at first, you know?
Totally. I tell my students all the time, try to be in silence more often. Try not to turn on the radio.
Right.
Turn on the podcast, like, right when you get home. Well, except for our podcast.
Definitely yeah, just listen to us. On. That's fine.
But, you know, allow yourself to be in silence when you're cooking or just home or driving. Mm-hmm. And if you are alone, don't only be in silence, but start talking out loud. So what happens when you start talking out loud, if you are by yourself, you talk out loud for like 20 or 30 minutes, you're going to keep talking and you're no longer going to be consciously aware of what you're saying. So what your random subconscious thoughts are going to start coming out as conversation.
Right.
And I practiced this for a long time, and I would be completely shocked at some of the mean shit that would come out of my mouth about myself.
Right.
Like, I would be just doing a very simple task and like something would happen. I'd be like, God, I'm so stupid. Or like I'd walk by the mirror and be like, oh, I look so ugly today. Just things like this that I would like never say out loud.
You thought
and,
it, huh?
Yeah, and once I was able to hear myself saying these negative things out loud, I was able to kind of write down the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. I'm smart. I'm
pretty.
Beautiful. Yeah. And that becomes your intention. So it's once you start observing the negative thought loops, then you can create the opposite positive intention and work with these intentions to ultimately change your life. And I'm not kidding when I say that this has changed my life 100% living this way.
Absolutely.
So some ways to work with intention are to keep an intention journal. So what you need to do is, after you figure out your negative thinking patterns and then you redirect that into positive thinking patterns, you can write intentions. So intentions are statements that are in the present tense. And it's not like, I'm going to be a millionaire. It's like, I am a millionaire, bitch. Like, right now.
Yeah, make sure you add bitch to the end.
At the end
of
everyone really helps. The universe loves being called a bitch.
Yeah.
So then write your intentions down in this intention journal. It's good to do in the morning, because then when you wake up, you're kind of redirecting your thinking for the day. You're kind of mapping out your thought patterns for the day. It's also really good to say your intentions right before you go to sleep. So when you lay down, if you can just like say your intention real quick before you sleep, your brain will continue to repeat what you hear when you fall asleep, like all night. So if you say an intention right before you fall asleep, you'll actually be programming that into your head to manifest during the entire time that you sleep, which is pretty cool.
That makes me want to write it down.
Do it.
I'm just gonna
with one of our yoga in the dark pens.
We have yoga,
which you'll
in
get on
pens.
Patreon if you sign up.
Please sign up
in all colors. So
they're pretty.
Also, you can use the cycles of the moon to manifest your intentions. So the new moon is when the moon is completely dark, and so we like to think of it as empty, and it's the perfect time to fill with intention. So new moon's really a good time to set your intention, to think of an intention, plant the intention. And on the new moon, you can set your intention, then you don't really have to do anything beyond that. You're going to set your intention, write it down, you're going to say it and write it down every day, and then fantasize about it being true. So this is a really important part of intention setting, is the visualizations. So it's not just saying the words, it's taking time to close your eyes and see in the Chittakosha, which is actually the place in front of the third eye. So like, if you can imagine like a little screen right in front of your forehead, you're going to close your eyes and imagine, see all of your intentions played out there. And also observe the feeling that you get when you see these intentions become reality. And you do this every day. You just say the intention, visualize it, that's it. Then when the full moon comes around, so the full moon is full, it's bright, and so it's a ton of energy. So the energy of the full moon gives you motivation to start following through with action. So the full moon is when you take the same intention or intentions that you set on the new moon, and then you start figuring out what is in your way of achieving these intentions, and you release, you remove these things from your life, everything that's keeping you back from this intention. And then you start to cultivate an action plan to make this intention become true. That doesn't mean the full moon you're going to figure out how to make this happen in the next month or even year. Sometimes this is like, these are the steps that I'm going to start to take on a daily basis to start making this intention become true. The second thing you can do is monitor your inner dialogue, like we said before. So stop listing, thinking, and saying what is missing in your life. Instead, start saying all the things that you have in your life. And when you do start catching yourself listing all the negative things in your life, stop that thought pattern and then drop one of your intentions in to replace it. The third thing you can do is reject thoughts that don't allow you to match up to your intentions, which we talked about before. The fourth thing is you can be aware of lower energies and resolve to bring yourself into a higher energy and surround yourself with other people who are also in a higher energy. So if you don't know what I mean when I'm talking about being aware of a low energy, this can be people or situations that feel negative or any kind of person or situation that's unkind to people in the environment in general. And you'll kind of get like an icky feeling maybe around them.
Right.
And people who, and I'm not saying we can't vent and complain, like venting is a very important part of life, but people who just kind of complain constantly about everything.
Like me.
Negative Nancy over here.
Negative fucking Nancy.
I think there's a lot of value to venting.
Sometimes I do need to vent. You know, totally. I just need to get it off and be really immature about it. Yeah. I don't know if you vent like that. I actually hear my like Jacoby, my son, he's 17 and he is so cut from the same cloth, mm-hmm. and I get uncomfortable sometimes with his venting because he talks
and then he's
so
a big mirror and you're like,
he's the best mirror, and he talks some mad shit sometimes when he's venting.
Who'd he learn that from?
Probably someone, not me, but
probably not you.
No, I mean, I'm certain of it, but he does, and I'm just like, damn, this kid is talking mad shit, and I so sometimes funny. Hear that. I need mm-hmm. a vent like that where I get to just be ridiculous mm-hmm. and immature.
Yeah.
And then kind of laugh at myself.
Totally.
For being so fucking ridiculous.
That's kind of what we were talking about in the last episode with Byron Katie, right? Is that when you're identifying your thoughts, you're being as immature and crazy like as your just thoughts naturally. Like, you need to identify right. how crazy and immature your thoughts actually get to actually see like how ridiculous they are so yeah. that we can recover from them, right?
Yeah.
And my thing is to, like, is you can vent, but then once it's out, I see venting as, like, physically removing energy. So right. It's like something that's bothering you. It's like the phrase, getting it off your chest. It's like, I imagine the words actually moving the energy out of your body, like, bleh, like. Mm-hmm. And once it's out, then switch it up to what your course of action is going to be, because if we just keep complaining about the same thing over and over and over again, we're actually manifesting it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need to view obstacles as a way to stay connected to intention. So Holly and I were talking about this a couple of days, and sometimes we'll be going through something, and if one of us is going through something that's really fucking hard, you mm-hmm. can't in the moment be like, everything happens for a reason.
No, fuck you for
yeah,
saying
totally.
That.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So why are you acting this way or doing this thing? What is the underlying intention? Is it to be loved? To get paid? Is it to manipulate or to seek pity? Is it working towards what you intend to attract or against it? For example, if you want to be loved, are you being loving? Are you loving yourself to attract the same attention from someone? Or are you seeking pity as a victim to attract someone who will do the same or who will even take advantage of you in the long run? So if you don't love yourself, people who love themselves won't be attracted to you. then you risk having a codependent relationship or an abusive relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So really stopping and, like we were talking about before, just observing yourself regularly. Stopping when you're doing something and saying, wait, why am I doing this? What's my intention behind this? And you can even start to ask yourself this of other people too. What is their intention for doing that, right?
Right. What's their motivation?
What's your motive?
I'm on to you.
Next, we, like I always say, practice gratitude.
You're like the gratitude queen.
Thank you. I like gratitude goddess.
I know.
So say thank you for what you have received from the universe. When you say thank you, the universe keeps wanting to give to you. If you're like setting intentions and they keep getting fulfilled and you're never saying thank you, the universe is going to be like, wow, that's, she's kind of a selfish bitch. Like, she keeps asking for stuff and I give it to her and then she just complains about her life still, you know. So if you're having that kind of energy, honestly, you're not going to get what you want out of life. You're just not. I think it's valuable to write down your intentions, like I said, in the intention journal, and then occasionally go back and look at what you've written down, and like you'll be amazed at what you've attracted. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times I forget what intentions I wrote down and asked for, and then I look back and realize I've been given everything that I asked for. I didn't even realize it.
Right.
So like I need to be living my life every day in a complete state of gratitude, because that's the only way to do it.
And then you get to go back and check and see, especially because, you know, we do forget what we are setting out as intentions, I think, if we're not writing them down and being very aware around it. So it's good to have that reflection of like, oh my gosh, I did manifest this. I did think about that and it did actually come true.
Yeah. And that's why it's also important to work with the same intention for a while. It's so easy to set one intention then just forget about it.
Right?
It's good to like keep using the same intention every day for a while. Another thing to remember is that when setting intentions, you can't fuck with anyone else's free will.
Damn it.
So free will is a real thing when it comes to intention. And I've definitely
Why love potion number 9 never works.
That's why putting your period blood in other people's food doesn't actually make them fall in love with you.
Why not?
Or does it? I don't know. That was in a book I read recently, and I had a lot of issues with it. I was like, wow. She was like, if you don't believe me with how powerful period blood is, then put some in your lover's food and see if he doesn't fall under a magic spell. I'm like, whoa.
That's kind of like any of those stories where somebody deranged, like, cooked a human into your food and then they feed it to you. Like, I don't know if my partner
made you eat your parents.
What's that from?
South Park.
Oh, okay. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know if my girlfriend would appreciate if I was like, hey, you know that spaghetti we ate the other night?
This sauce is almost like a blood red.
Like, I'm tasting a lot of iron.
This Merlot is a blood red. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've actually attempted in the past, like, before I really understood intention very well, to, like, set intentions for other people. And, yeah, it doesn't work. It might temporarily work. It'll be like, oh, my gosh, it's working. And then, in the end, their free will always win. You cannot try to control people through intention.
No. Right.
We're not casting spells, people. Or maybe we are. But just only light magic, please. No dark magic. And I know we need to get to the end soon. Also, remember to meditate often. So meditation is so important because, like that practice we did earlier, it's when we meditate and we empty the mind. And it's in that emptiness that the divine comes through. So it's in that emptiness and that silence that we can actually start to connect to God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, to spirit, to source. And it's the more that we experience source that we are connected to the source of intention, and we're in control of our own realities and creating our realities. And remembering that you are God. You are the universe. Like, it's in you. And obviously we're here having a human experience, so we're human. But it's in you. When you hear people talk about, like, they found Jesus. Jesus was in them the whole time, right? They just had to find him.
They found him.
It's like, yeah. And I've experienced that, you know, when I was in yoga. It was the first time I think I actually felt the universe in me. And I was like, wow, this love I've never felt before. And you just realize that
it's a beautiful experience.
So continue to remind yourself, you are God. you are. And that's how you're able to create, right?
I have to interject with something that Alan Watts once said. He was like, you know, Jesus is, and I hope I don't catch any flack for this, so please don't get too mad at me. I'm just repeating his words. Don't kill the messenger. I just thought it was a beautiful sentiment. So he says, Jesus's fatal flaw was that he went around saying, I am the Son of God. I am God, you know, when he said it, the reason why he said that was his fatal flaw was because what he really meant to imply was we are all.
Yeah. You are God.
We are God.
We are God.
We're all God. We're all the sons of God. And so, or yeah. the sons and daughter, whatever. You know what I'm fucking saying.
Totally. We're the children of
the
universe.
We're the children of the gods.
We're all made of the same matter. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah.
It comes down to we're all matter. We're not solid objects. So if we're created from God, then we are God. We're all the same thing. It's all one.
Right. Exactly. And we have the opportunity to really make our existence what we want it to be. And it's funny, I think it's almost like a metaphysical approach to the whole bootstrap mentality of the American society, but I'll get to that in my little
I'm excited topic. Now I love it when you give us little teasers.
I'm like to tease you.
Wow. And we're getting so philosophical, so hang on guys.
Yeah.
I like to get philosophical often.
I like it.
I want to just mention a couple other good sources for this topic. There is the movie The Secret.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's really interesting. So they talk a lot about the visualization aspect of the intention. So if you have ever made a vision board, this is kind of what we're working with. It's if you put your intentions into visuals onto a poster board and hang it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, and you can stop and admire the poster board, and what you're doing every time you look at it is you're creating that visualization, which is then manifesting it into your life. And The Secret has a lot of people talking about, like, they made vision boards, then forgot about them, and then they found them later and realized that they had everything on the vision board, down to the tiniest little details. Like, this guy talks about he had, like, a house. He had put, like, a house floor plan on a vision board and completely forgot about it. And then, like, 10 years later, he was, like, a very successful businessman, and like, he pulled out this vision board. It was down to the, like, a square foot. He had the exact house. And I actually had the same experience. So I made a vision board when I was maybe, like, 20 years old. And I remember I actually took, like, a piece, like, a huge wooden piece of board, and I painted it. I didn't, like, cut out magazine. I actually just painted what I wanted. And it kind of got put away in my stuff, and I've been a gypsy through my whole 20s, so I moved about 100 times, and then I pulled it out one time after I had moved a bunch of times and looked at it, and I was like, wow, and this was maybe 7 years after I had done it, and I looked at it, and I was like, what the actual fuck? Like, I had forgotten about this vision board, literally had everything had manifested on it.
Cool.
One thing was, like, my dog was peaceful and calm, because when she was a puppy, she ran away constantly. She ran away on a daily basis, and sometimes would be gone for, like, an entire day.
Aww.
Yeah. And then at this point, she was calm. She was happy. She had just found her peace. And I had also painted, like, a mountain and, like, a ski slope. And I was going to manifest doing massage therapy in the mountains and snowboarding. And this was when I was in massage school that I made this vision board. And I found this vision board after I'd already moved back. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I forgot that I ever set that intention or put that on a vision board, and then I actually did work on a resort in the mountains, and I snowboarded every day, and
fun.
So that came true.
You're so cool.
And then the last
thing, I'm so cool. You're so cool.
I actually have a tattoo that says
I
that,
know
so.
You do. I went with you the day you got it.
Oh yeah,
I got mine. You got You're So Cool, and I got Abandoned Hope.
Talk about positive and negative thinking patterns.
That was right before I went on that California trip. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fucking hilarious. Actually, no, wait. That's the right before we went on our California trip.
That was such a good trip.
We had a good time. I remember me breaking down, though, like, the first night, like, after we got there. I think I was just exhausted.
Camping, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, go off on my own and, like, cry it out a little. And then I came back and I was
You're
like,
an empath.
Yeah. I'm done. I am.
I'm
empath.
Telling you, you are. No, I remember that trip because you were like, remind me that I hate camping. And then you went camping with your girlfriend a couple months ago, and I was like, Holly, I'm supposed to remind you that you hate camping.
But I had a good time.
And you had a good time.
You know what, though? I also went camping with Katya last summer. Shout out to Katya.
Hi, Katya.
We love you. I had so much fun with her. We went on a few little journeys. and had some fun and camped it out. It was good. And I did really love camping.
So the last thing that I remember that was on the vision board was, because I was a 20-year-old, right? 20-year-olds are silly. No offense to any 20-year-olds out there. But I painted
No, we're offending you.
Take offense. I painted a green Subaru Outback, like a hatchback.
Okay.
And I was like, that was my dream car. And at this time, I rode my bike everywhere. I didn't own a car. I lived in the city. So, like, I just wanted, like, a car that was big enough to put my snowboard and my massage table in. And that was, like, my dream car. So, fast forward to when I found this vision board, I was like, oh, well, I didn't have a green Subaru Outback, but that's okay because my dad had let me borrow his, like, silver Subaru Forester. So, I was like, oh, close enough, universe. And sometimes
I mean, there's forest green. That's a color.
There you go.
Sure. Okay.
So sometimes... Thank you.
I'm trying to just make connections
here. So sometimes
here.
We can't be completely precise with the intentions. Yeah. We can, like, whatever the universe brings. Anyway, so fast forward to now. So my partner bought a green Subaru Outback. And I remember when he did it, I got so excited. I was like, I've always wanted that car. It's amazing. And then I was like, all right, universe. Like, touche. Close enough, right? Like, I asked for it for myself, but then you got it for my partner, so I get to ride in it. So... I appreciate it. Thank you. Literally 6 months after that, he bought a new car and gave it to me.
Yeah.
So I've officially have the car now that was on my vision board. Like, through no action of my own, it just came to me.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. To conclude, you will waver probably when you practice the power of intention. So the ego or the human experience will create doubt for you regularly. It's just your job to continue to remove that doubt and realign with spirit or intention as regularly as you can.
That's so beautiful. Woo, woo. You're so good.
You're good.
I cannot wait to tell you what I'm talking about. Tell me about.
What you're talking. We do a quick break. Yeah, I need to. My phone was on the table and no, I don't want to have negative feedback and shit.
You're fine. You're okay. Good. I'm gonna need to pee anyway. Okay, it seems to be recording now.
I'll keep checking it just to make sure. Yeah, I can see it easily, so.
That was weird, eh?
Eh?
Don't you know that was I so weird,
love
eh?
Canadian Holly.
Yeah, she's...
You know people have, like, a drunk persona that comes out?
What?
Holly just gets all Canadian and friendly.
I don't slur my words, I just get Canadian.
She gets friendlier and friendlier.
Like, I sound like I'm from, like, the UP.
Yeah,
I'm a Uper. Don't ya know.
She gets all social government on her asses. It's great.
Yeah.
So, Holly, I was meaning to ask you, you talked about Wim Hof. In last our episode. Last episode, and have you done the challenge yet? Because I forgot to.
I have done the breath work, but I have forgotten to do the cold showers. I keep wanting to print it out, and I need to put it in the bathroom.
It. Put it on our vision board.
That I haven't made yet. You know, I didn't even get a chance.
Oh, it's still at work. I remember.
It's still at work. Hopefully, it's definitely still at work.
Hopefully it hasn't gotten stolen by homeless
jacked
people.
By people looting the place. Fuckers. No, I do have to do my vision board. No, I want to print it out. Thank you. I'm going to write that down right now because this all goes hand in hand with what you're talking about with the power of intention, which I did listen to that Wayne Dyer. And I think it is in reference to his book. You're so pretty.
Sorry, I don't know why.
I love it when you fuck with me while I'm trying to talk to our people. So I haven't done the Wim Hof challenge in its entirety, but I have started. What I have been doing is been really looking at and assessing what it's going to look like going back to work, you know, in keeping with the kind of the little bit of updates that we give around what's happening here in Colorado and locally for us. Our governor put forth the decree that as of April 26th, we will start looking to open more and more businesses. But then there's some other stipulations around that that say that most of us will, that the state decree goes until the 30th, and so many people are being allowed to open their doors again May 1st. So with me, I've had to look at being immuno.
Do you want me to clear my throat?
Being immunocompromised, I have had to think about if it's going to be beneficial for me to return to work so quickly when our state health officials and scientists, all of them are saying that we should wait a little longer.
If you have asthma, stay the fuck home.
And I have asthma, right? I mean, yeah, so I've had to really look at what's the next few steps. I love that we can audibly hear us drinking.
And gulping. I'm just going to start saying, like, I'm going to take a drink, and then you cut that out.
We might leave it in for effect so people don't feel like we're being perfectionists.
No one's perfect, kids.
No one's perfect, but kiddos.
But you can try. Just kidding. Don't try. Be yourself. Do your homework. Don't do the bad drugs, but do the good ones.
Yeah. That's the best advice ever.
That's what D.A.R.E. should say. It should say, don't do meth, do mushrooms.
Wait,
it should be
this go in?
DDM, DDM. Oh, weird.
DDM. That kind of sounds like BDM, BDM.
Oh, my God. This is getting complicated.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what any of those initials mean.
It means
it's no acronym.
Do meth, do mushrooms. DDM, DDM. Instead of D.A.R.E.
Perfect. Can this go on the bloopers?
Yeah, we're going to make a fucking t-shirt.
DDM.
The new D.A.R.E.
DDM, DDM is the new D.A.R.E.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, I'm getting to it, I swear.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about is exactly right. Well, something that our friend Kim said, I think to me last week, that really resonated, and she was like, you know, I think this is a time where a lot of us are going to need to reinvent ourselves. And I have been thinking a lot about that. It really struck a chord with me because by trade, I'm a massage therapist. Yes, I could go and apply for my initial teaching license and go back into education. I even seriously thought about, with people going back to work, that I could even offer some type of preschool/homeschool or something, because I do have my bachelor's in Chicano studies and emphasis on social studies and Spanish, and I can teach all content areas, everything from preschool through sixth grade. Same thing. Sixth grade. Doesn't matter. But I've really thought a lot about what she said. And when you were talking to me about how you've been wanting to revisit Wayne Dyer and the power of intention, so many things have come forward even recently, as I haven't worked in a month. And it has made me really reevaluate some of the things in which I want to move forward with. The podcast is one of them. We want this to be wildly successful. I think that we have a message we want to share to the world. We have a vision, and I think that we also really value society. And for us, we find a soul satisfying type of feeling by helping others.
We love you.
We really do. I love you so
all
much.
Of you. People are our passion.
It's so true. Well, and that's that empathic piece, right? Like, all of these topics are continuing to build onto each other. So what I'm bringing to the table today is something actually quite simple. It's an article that I want to reference, and then an experience I'm having with a new venture that I'm just delving into and decided that it was going to be worth my time. So I found an article from entrepreneur.com. The author is John Rampton. He is an entrepreneur, and he also calls himself a connector. He wrote an article May 24th, 2016, titled 15 Steps I Took to Successfully Reinvent Myself After Losing Everything.
Wow.
Right. And for some of us, this might very well feel like we've lost everything. Mm-hmm. My job by trade is to be in physical contact with people. And so, being immunocompromised, I'm having to look at, when is it safe for me to return? Because I do have compromised lungs. We live in a very toxic world, which has been one of the reasons why I've really dedicated my life's work and practice to self-care, mm-hmm. to healing naturally, for holistic health, alternative methods, all of these things that at times can really coincide with Western medicine and also at times surpass it. So what I found to be really great about this particular article was, this guy kind of says that he had everything. You know, he had been guaranteed a job, for at least a year with a huge salary and was newly married. He felt like everything was running incredibly smoothly. For me, I kind of felt like that was where I was at. Like, I was starting to feel better. Granted, my mother had died, and I was definitely in the flows of grief with that. But everything seems to have compacted on top of that with, like, this is a public health emergency that we're experiencing versus the Great Depression, which was an economic pitfall. So not only do we have an economic pitfall, but that's going to be the effect. And the cause is this public health crisis that we're in. So what I have been thinking a lot about is that prospect of reinventing myself. And I found this article to be really helpful in addition to the venture that I will get to here in a moment.
I just keep hearing in my head echoing the Incubus song.
No, yeah. I don't know what song you're talking about.
Oh, we should play it. Maybe we'll play it at the end of this podcast. Stay tuned.
Are we allowed to do that?
Fuck, never mind.
Sorry, guys. You're going to have to just look it up.
Yeah, look up we don't Incubus, have the rights. Make yourself. It's an album. I'm pretty sure it's one of their songs on there too, but
okay. Anyway, good to know. Go on. Yeah, remind me to put that in the notes.
Okay.
So he compiled a list of 15, he calls them steps.
I just remembered it.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay, go.
It goes, I only remember the one lyric that says, make yourself. And I can't remember the rest
girl,
of it.
Get
but
it.
We'll put the song in the notes.
It's nice good. Pitch.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So he compiled a list of what he calls 15 steps. I figure them to be 15 questions. First question.
The answer is yes, I can.
Well, it is, do you really want to change?
No. Yes!
Right? So it says, there are times when we're forced to reinvent ourselves. I have been looking at that. I have been wanting to reinvent myself for a while. I am about to start grad school, supposedly. I mean, I've done all of the work toward it, but with everything that's happening in my own health, I've kind of had to look at if grad school with funding and online, like with there being a lot of rules around social distancing and stuff, I've had to really ask myself if that's something that I'm going to be able to do. As of right now, I'm still pursuing it, but I have until August to kind of assess if I need to take a different route. And what I have learned about, not just with the power of intention, but also is this power of being able to be flexible. And we can intend for a lot of things. And sometimes there's going to be roadblocks put in our path that either help strengthen our fortitude towards that choice or actually help us reassess and see if there's something else that we need to do. So I actually had been asking myself, like, how much do I want to change? I decided in the last week to not only take on the Wim Hof breathing methods and cold therapy and whatnot as per our last episode recording, but I also joined
Ice yourself.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
Boy. So I started asking myself this question, and in the same week I was invited to this Zoom meetup session through kindness yoga. And
can we say that?
Yeah, I asked him if we could. Yeah. So it's called Kindness Academy. And one of the questions that really got through to me around do you really want to change was a secondary question, which was, what is one area of your life that you wish that you could make a breakthrough in? So in lieu of this, I went through the steps with the Zoom conversation and found that one of the primary areas in which that I know that I need to shift around is prioritizing a schedule. And that has been interesting having not worked for a month.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to look at, not only did I write my own little soul contract in the last few weeks, but what I'm also doing now is making the commitment to reinvent a new schedule. I don't know how much longer this is going to go on for. And so without a schedule, I'm prone to stay up late, maybe I get bored. I throw on a game of Words with Friends, or I
play Words with Friends.
Yeah, I like Words.
I love that game.
You want to play me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I deleted it because no one ever wanted I'll to play do it with me. I would literally have like three games going, and it would be like 3 weeks, and no one would ever fucking
I'll
do play.
It. I'll play with you.
I'm pretty good.
You still want all the attention on you.
I can't help it.
The second question, or the second step, was wake up early. And interestingly, when I looked at what I wanted to work on, especially with this Kindness Academy that I decided to go ahead and join for the next 90 days, I started to see that without reinventing my schedule, I was going to kind of start treating every day like it was a weekend. I mean, that's where I've kind of had like 3 o'clock champagne, you know, 2 o'clock spritzers with red wine, you know, and it's not like I'm not doing my yoga or doing other things. I'm still maintaining these other things, but there are other aspects of my life in which it's not that I think that I need to be more productive. I would just like to maintain a little more focus, I think. So the third step or question, how can you prioritize your tasks? So reinventing yourself doesn't happen overnight is what this guy says in the article. He does mention earlier in the article that it does take like hard work, but really it's the dedication and the patience around prioritizing. And he said to make the transformation run more smoothly, you should dedicate at least 1 hour per day towards achieving your goals.
Hmm.
I think that that's pretty modest in a 24-hour day with 8 hours of sleep. That leaves, what, 16 hours? So if you could dedicate 1 hour to the goals that you have.
Especially in quarantine, that's not asking very much of you. It's really not. You're not doing anything all day, every day.
Right, yeah. Exactly. The next one I can definitely relate to, and I've had a lot of conversations even with my own therapy practice around this, which is attaching yourself to the right people. And it's not to say that the people who are already in your life aren't good for you. It's just you have to sometimes shift your thinking. I had a really good friend, same friend who pointed out that why we don't go hike in the mountains. Love you, Mike. He has been listening to us, though, and giving us great feedback.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, and he's amazing and been one of my best friends since I was in elementary school. Wait, not elementary school. What am I saying? Megan just poked herself in the face with a straw and made the funniest face, you guys. That's staying in the main cut. It has to. You fucking hurt yourself a little. Like, she looked like she was in pain for
a minute. Well, I was trying to hold the straw down so it didn't clink and make noise, and I just stabbed myself in the lip.
So speaking of attaching yourself to the right people. So attaching yourself to the right people is just putting it into perspective. I've often had talks with my therapist mentor around who feeds your innermost flame. And those are the people that you want to keep around you. Girl, you feed my family.
I just pointed at Holly.
You did. And, you know, while we can have a lot of social connections, and for some of us, having and maintaining a lot of relationships is really a value that people behold, that's totally fine. What I have found around trying to actualize myself, actualize my dreams and goals, is that I've gotten really concentrated in some of the people that I really put myself around, because I really want them to feed my flame. And I want to also feed their flame. My friend Mike, who I mentioned earlier, what I was trying to say around what he had said to me once was really beautiful. He was telling me about a neighbor friend of his, and he said one day about him was something to the effect of, he makes me think about the right things. Hmm. And that's what I find to be really valuable about the people. Especially going out on a limb, making a podcast is going out on a limb, being an entrepreneur is going out on a limb, reinventing yourself is going out on a limb, setting intentions is going out on a limb.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to number 5, learn. And so whether it's reading, writing, attending a workshop, a webinar, finding ways to enhance your knowledge is going to help make you a more well-rounded individual. I often used to say as a teacher of, you know, kids, whether it was ESL or just even any content area, when I was in the classroom, what I used to say to the kids is that my number one job was not to make sure that they remembered every little thing or every little fact that I was teaching them. My primary job was to instill a love of learning. Mm. I wanted them to be learners. I wanted them to love learning. And that comes from maintaining a sense of wonder and intention and curiosity. You know, lifelong learning is what makes people develop. It makes them motivated, and it will continue to introduce you to new people and thoughts, ideas.
I feel like often I get into that place where I'm like, I've been teaching for a long time. I'm really ready to be a student again. Like, it's so important to keep learning.
Absolutely. It's good to continue to put yourself into that seat, right? Mm. I used to often say that my students were my best teachers because I really learned a lot about how I came off as an instructor or how I showed up with presence. Number six is find a mentor. I think that that's really important, and it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be somebody that you always are working with one-on-one. I would definitely call my therapist my mentor. We've been working together for 10 years now. Wow. Right. Yeah. And I have developed a solid relationship with her over this last decade. And I've often called her my mentor now. And I think that it is so viable to have someone around who can show you some of the ropes in the areas that you're unfamiliar with, because that's, I think, what keeps us from taking some of these risks. I found this out when I started the Kindness Academy, because one of the things that I looked at was, how has procrastination served me? And without a mentor, having procrastination has helped me because it kept me safe from discomfort. When you're reinventing yourself, when you're setting intentions, you're moving into a different kind of place of comfort or discourse. You're moving towards evolution. You can't evolve without challenging yourself to hit delete on those negative thought patterns, without challenging yourself to be aware of your thoughts, without challenging yourself to step outside of your comfort zone. So moving on from there, he then offers number seven, don't be afraid to experiment. That's something that I have learned, especially in making this podcast. I had to train myself on how to edit and use the software. Even though Audacity is a free program, there's so much to learn, and I enjoy learning those kind of new things, and I would encourage that of people. Okay, number eight is be honest with yourself and others. So I think that's one thing that I've learned about talking to people and being humble. I have a fear of acknowledging that failure is something that I think about often. Mm. And I found that out in the Kindness Academy, where I actually had asked myself, like, but who will I be if I succeed? I'm afraid of that image of me.
Huh, how
come? I'm afraid that what I have won't actually be valuable anyway. Hmm. And it's so silly, because I know that everything has value, and I know that people will hear it, and I know this to a certain degree, which is why I keep doing it, but I'm still working on hitting delete on that doubtful thought of, I don't have valuable offerings. And I want to really embody that. What I learned around, even, this is total sidebar, is yoga nidra, was that it comes from a place of knowing, not a place of showing. So you have to know that something has value versus just showing something has value, right? Mm. And it's the same thing with nidra. Like, you don't just give nidra, like, you are nidra.
This sounds a lot like your imposter syndrome topic.
Yes. Well, and that comes to number nine, which is don't justify your decision. This guy says, speaking of honesty, if anyone questions your decision, be transparent with them. There's a reason why you made the decision to reinvent yourself. And if you have facts and passion to back that up, their opinion shouldn't prevent you from going forward. And ultimately, they're going to have to respect that. So moving on, number 10 is get out of your comfort zone. Duh. Like, that's just kind of building up. Like, we all know that. Number 11, this one's really tangible, and this is something that I was starting to work on, and then COVID happened. So it's going to be interesting moving toward a new normal and seeing how this works. So number 11 is manage your finances. Mm. I have recognized that I didn't have as many systems in place to support myself as much as I would have liked. Yes, I'm an entrepreneur, but something that I've learned is that by playing small, I have kept my finances small. By playing, you know, it's safe, I have made a lot of choices that have been around scarcity instead of taking the risks. And that's one thing that I've learned about anybody that I could say would be successful, they've said, is take risks. Let yourself fail. Do that.
Wow, I love that. Thank you.
So this guy's tip is take 20% of whatever you make and put it into the bank for a rainy day. I like to have at least 12 months personal runaway sitting in the bank cash at all times. As entrepreneurs, we make a lot of money some months and other months where we don't make anything. Learn to manage your finances better on a variable income.
Wow, I needed to hear that.
I needed to hear that too. It's feast or famine, right? So when I'm feasting, I'm like, let's go out to dinner. Yeah, sure, I'll get my hair done one more time. You want to go get a pedicure? Okay, what? I'll buy, you know.
Let's go to a concert.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And while I enjoy doing all those things, there is a balance. Mm-hmm. Something that he also talks about is number 12, which I think is interesting. He calls it following the 24-hour rule. So he said, if you meet with someone at a networking event, for example, you should follow up with them within 24 hours to stay fresh in their minds and begin building a strong relationship. Hmm. It's also polite and frees up time since you aren't letting your follow-up responses build up into an unmanageable list. I think that's just a nice, tangible piece of advice. Okay, so number 13 is make new lists every day. When you make lists every day on areas that you'll focus on, you'll notice that certain items will stick and certain others won't. So instead of devoting your energy on areas that you're not passionate about, you can dedicate that energy to achieving a goal that is attainable and desirable.
Okay.
So the last two are number 14, take one step at a time. Mm-hmm. You must know and trust that reinvention is a process that can take years. So don't overwhelm yourself by getting consumed on the big picture. Take steps to accomplish your end goals. For example, if you want to get in better shape, then the first step would be going on a walk. The next step would be setting a schedule, then getting a gym membership, and finally eating healthier. You really need to take it one step at a time.
Take it slow, bitches.
Yeah, bitches. So yeah. No, I have been learning that. So my one step that I really want to do is I decided that I was going to get up every morning in between 7 and 9 and do my breath work and take care of me and do my meditation, and no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just an everyday thing. So number 15 is accept failure. Along the way, you have to accept that you're going to fail. So once you can embrace it, you can learn from it and then keep moving forward because you can do this. Isn't that pretty?
You can do this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Holly.
Thank you.
There were a lot of parallels between our topics.
Isn't there?
That, especially talking about like writing things down every day.
Yeah, I'm getting to that place, you know, and I did want to give Kindness Yoga that shout out because I think I'm seeing the owners, Patrick and Cameron. I'm seeing Patrick and Cameron reinvent what kindness can offer. And by creating the Kindness Academy, they've given this platform for people to interact with one another in a community. And one of the things that they said, which I thought was really beautiful, hold on, I'm going to find it really quick, is passion, purpose, and potential. I found that to be so powerful. And one of the questions that felt really feasible and doable was, what's the vision you want in the next 90 days? Hmm. That's doable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when we get overwhelmed. I think when we get overwhelmed is when we start looking at where we think we need to be in 5 or 10 years.
Sure.
And we don't.
Or accomplish in our entire life.
Yeah. And we don't break it down into really manageable steps, right? So what if one manageable step for me right now is just to set my alarm and actually get my ass up? You know, one thing at a time, because the other things will fall into play, you know.
The butterfly effect of health.
Yeah, so it's really getting clear on who you want to be and asking yourself from knowing what you're capable of accomplishing and then rating these things that you want to accomplish on a scale of 1 to 10. And if it's not a 10 out of 10 for you, then you need to reevaluate, because if you have any room for it to be an 8 out of 10, that means there's places for you to create excuses. So attach to the things that you can have a 10 out of 10 on, that you can truly be successful on. Those are going to be the things that then become part of your human experience of habit, versus trying to shoot for the big kahuna and knowing that in order for you to achieve it, it needs to be rated a 10 out of 10 for you. You can't just rate it, well, I'm 7 out of 10 for that, but it's really important. But then you have a ton of room for you to just decide that you're not going to follow through.
Yeah, there's going to be resistance and excuses that come through, and you're going to just half-ass your way through it. Yeah.
So you got to stick with the 10 out of 10.
All right.
So that's my advice with the with this topic, is what's a 10 out of 10 for you? And can you commit even to just one thing that you can do right now?
Thank you so much, Holly. That was a really good topic.
Yeah. If anybody's interested, I do want to give them a little shout out. You can find the Kindness Academy at literally www.kindnessacademy.com. And I am trying it out for the next 90 days. So it'll be fun and interesting over the next 3 months of recordings to be able to kind of give my input on it and share how I have been reinventing myself.
Yeah. So reach out to us if you're in need.
Please
of
do.
Any services. We're offering meditations online right
Private
now.
Private yoga. Keep your eye out, though, too, on the Patreon. We'd love to have your support. We will be offering, like, Facebook Lives here in the near future. We just want to stay connected, and we really want to create a community of laughter and accountability and inspiration. We love you all. Thank you so much. This is episode 6. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Megan, you're
Holly made me drink wine.
No, it's so true, though. This guy's... No, okay, all of it. We're cutting that out. I know.
I'm trying. Megan's... Did you put any speed in that wine?
Yeah. Girl, it has kombucha.
I'm feeling it.
Okay. And some filtered water.
That's absolutely what I'm feeling the most. Yeah, it's that fucking water. It's getting to me.
So, yeah, in lieu of... What am I saying? Hold on. I need to start over. Sorry. You need to know that you're going to have... You can't talk.
Oh my god. You going to have to fuck up sometimes.
You is going to have to fail sometimes.